want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Wednesday in Brevard County, June the 10th, 2015. We pray that you are having a great day. We want to invite you to our vintage service today at 11 a.m. And come and be a part of us. We study the Word of God, we worship the King, and we pray for one another. And so if that sounds like something you'd like to be a part of, we encourage you to come to 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island today at 11 o'clock. I'm very time conscious. Service goes from 11 to right around 12:15. By the time we get through fellowshipping and praying for one another and all of that. So you still got time to get to lunch and all that. But don't just sit at home and twiddle your thumbs and be bored. We invite you to come out, be a part, get connected with a local body of believers that will help you to grow in your faith. And so we want to say thank you to Jits Concrete, 536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work done, they are our contractor of choice. And they have done a remarkable job for us through the years. And so I know that they would be a blessing to you. So come be a part of that. Also tonight at 6:30 is our Boys and Girls Ministry. Runs 6:30 to 7:45. And so you're still able to get home before dark. And the other thing about that is we feed them beforehand. So at about 6 o'clock we start. Actually, at 6 o'clock, we start praying and eating the food. And so if you've got boys and girls that you would like to be ministered to in a godly environment that still believes in a standard of purity and a standard in that lines up with God's Word, come bring your kids. We have a great time with them. I'm involved in the ministry as well. So it's a really, really phenomenal ministry. Joshua Booth is doing a wonderful job leading our children's ministries, and so we commend him. Acts chapter 10, verse number 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by God. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." So here we're just a reminder, we're talking about Peter's sermon to Cornelius and the entire household of people that he had gathered together to hear what God had commanded Peter to say. Peter starts off and he says, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by God." Now, here is a tremendous revelation. It is possible to know that whether you are accepted by God or not. There are so many people who go through life uncertain whether they are accepted by God. There's another group of people who go through life hoping that they're accepted by God. And here we see that it is possible to know that we are accepted by God. Now, in the cosmic chronological scale of things, this is a relatively new thing. It's only been the past few hundred years where people even believed that they could know what their status before God was. There are a lot of people who assume their status is one thing when it is entirely different. You see, if it doesn't line up with what God's word says, it is invalid, it's inaccurate, it's not true. And so I don't need to go by my feelings. I need to evaluate my feelings and my life by what the word of God says. Okay? For me, the word is the standard. The word is an absolute standard in my life. Do I believe the Bible? Absolutely. I do. And so if you're going to try and convince me to believe or practice something contrary to what the word of God indicates, you are going to run out of breath before you succeed. Not because I'm closed-minded, I am open-minded. I am open-minded to the things that God has. See, my mind was closed off to heavenly perception before Christ, but after Christ, my mind was renewed. I put away the childish way of thinking, and my mind was renewed to begin to think like Christ. Okay? And so there are some people who view open-mindedness as believing everything that comes down the sewer pipe. That's not where I want to drink from. I don't want to drink from the sewer pipe. I want to drink from the inlet, the supply line that is pure, and it's not going to make me sick. We refurbished a house one time, and we had a plumber come in. It was an old house. It was built in 1948. Back then, they did not use copper pipes. They actually used steel pipes. And the plumber came in, and he was looking at some of the plumbing, and we thought that it was just going to be one thing, and it turned out to be something else. And he took the piece of pipe, and he said, "I want to show you what the inside of this supply line looks like." And inside, it was all brown and corroded and gross looking. And when water flowed through that, some of the residual from the lining of the pipe would actually come in. And he said, "No matter what you do, if you do not replace this supply line, you are going to be drinking things that you don't want to be drinking." And so we had a complete, you know, he went all the way to the meter and replumbed the entire house to where the water that came in was water that was suitable to drink. You see, I'm open-minded for that. I'm open-minded for change that is going to make me more like Jesus. I'm open-minded to things that are higher than the way that I currently think because God's thoughts are higher than the way that I think. Am I open-minded to changing the standard of God's word just because of a political opinion poll or because of a majority mindset in society? Absolutely not. Thank you. I will stick with God's word. You say, but look, the masses can't be wrong. Well, I can tell you this. The water that comes in, the supply line that comes into the house that comes in with pressure is a smaller pipe. It's a narrower pipe. It is a better supply line than the larger pipe that everything flows out of. Listen, I have seen what comes through a sewer line, and it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. Am I saying that the minority is always right? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God's word is always right. And so, but in every nation, whoever fears him. And so please understand as we are going through this word today that if you will walk in reverential awe, it says every nation here. Let me make that simple for you. God's not talking about just every geopolitical boundary line that touches the globe. A nation is simply a group of people. That's what it is, a tribe or a group of people that come together and they're identified together. And he says that every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. That means that in the United States of America right now, that there are people who in that have chosen to live in a reverential awe of God that is distinct from other people in the same country who've rejected that. Romans chapter 1 says that there are people who chose not to retain the knowledge of God. They not only chose not to retain the knowledge of God, but they rejected him. They rejected his concept. They rejected his precepts, his statutes, his ordinances, and his laws. They rejected everything about him. And then they wonder why they do not experience the same blessings that other people do. And so today, I want you to know that that person to your right, that person to your left, in front of you, behind you, that person that works in the office beside you, the person that's beside you in traffic right now, you've got to make a decision, and that is, how am I going to live before God? And so what we are doing at Merit Assembly of God is we are choosing to walk in the holiness, the blessing, and the favor of God. Even if other people reject it, it's not going to disqualify us from partaking in what Peter spoke to Cornelius and his household. And so whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Now, here's the thing with works. I've told you that God's got no partiality. He's not a respecter of persons. He wants you involved in the ministry. There's something at your local church that you can do. There's an article that I ran across recently dated all the way back to 1946, and it was talking about what makes churches great, and it talked about how in this particular region that there was a room that was positioned right underneath the pulpit that the pastor was preaching, and while he was preaching, they were down there praying and asking God to move sovereignly. That's why we have a group of intercessors that meets on Sunday morning before our Sunday school hour begins. Is they're up there praying for the Spirit of God to move. They're praying for people's lives to be touched and transformed. They're praying for miracles to happen and the presence of God to manifest in God. And so in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness. I do not work to earn my salvation, okay? Salvation is by faith alone. It's by grace, saved by grace in the faith of God. It's God's grace. He's given us the gift of faith. He gives us the grace, and he equips us to be able to believe in him and accept his forgiveness, okay? You cannot work to earn your salvation. There's no check that you can write, no amount of community service hours that are going to be able to buy you an exemption. That's the concept that sparked the Great Reformation, and Martin Luther was when he encountered a person who said, hey, you know, because Martin Luther confronted him because of the sin that he was in, and he said, that's okay, I don't need to repent because I wrote a check of such and such amount, or I gave such and such amount, and a person told me I was guaranteed to get into heaven. There's no work, no amount of money that you can do. There's not a set number of church services that you can attend that will get you into heaven. Works, you cannot earn your salvation. It is by grace. It's by faith. It's by the price that Jesus paid. But because I have received the gift of faith, because I have received the gift of salvation, I work for the glory of God. And so it says, and whoever fears him and works righteousness. Have you ever changed jobs? I remember one time I was working for a company, and a recruiter called me at work, and my wife and I prayed. It was the job that led us to Florida, and I went in and told my boss the next day that I was going to be resigning, and she was she actually cried. It was one of the only times I've ever had a boss that cried because I was leaving, And the next day I was talking to her and she was over it. it was like, wow, that didn't take long. And I worked for that company. But when I went to work for a different company, I no longer had access to the things I used to have access to. But I had access to other things after that I didn't have access to before. And so you and I, when we were in sin, we had access to things, and it was perfectly normal in that work environment. Working for selfish pleasures, working for temporary satisfaction instead of eternal glory. And so there were things that were available to us that helped keep us in that job. But God, when Jesus comes into our heart, he cuts us off from that because he wants to open us up to the availability of his resources. We have changed employment. No longer am I trying to work myself into be good enough or popular enough or tall enough or handsome enough or rich enough or famous enough, but now I'm working for the glory of Jesus Christ. And so all of a sudden we begin to understand the word of God. All of a sudden we begin to operate in supernatural power. And so I want to encourage you, if you have been accepted by him, he has an assignment for you to do. And I encourage you, go to your pastor, say, Pastor, what needs are there in the church? What do I need to go through in order to be equipped properly to be a blessing to the church and this community by helping in the ministry of the kingdom of God? Listen, we are not just called to make converts. We are called, in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, to make disciples. And so I encourage you to be involved. Be involved. Be developing. Develop the godly man or the godly woman inside of you so that God can use you for his glory. Let's move on to verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Okay? And so here it says that the word that we preach is peace through Jesus Christ. Peace through Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting that the Bible says in the last times there will be a great falling away and there will be wars and rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars. There are going to be people that are pushing Jesus to the background. They are going to be adopting the mindset of anti-Christ instead of pro-Christ. Anti simply means against. Christ means Messiah or the anointed one. And so, by the way, Christ was not Jesus' last name. It's a title. That's the Greek that translates to Messiah in the Hebrew, the anointed one. Okay, so Jesus, the anointed one, or the anointed one of God. And so Antichrist means against the anointed one of God. And Paul said that even now there are the spirit of Antichrist is in the world. It's already here. Now, there is the person, the Antichrist, that is spoken of in prophetic manner, and that is a person who embodies everything that is contrary to Jesus and the Word of God, the anointed one of God. And so it says that in the last days that it's going to become a more predominant mindset, being against the things of God. And then it also says this, that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Households are going to be pitted against one another. Nations are going to be fighting. There's going to be instability everywhere. And I believe that the reason for that is because Jesus is our peace. He is our shalom. He is our not just an absence of conflict, but he is wholeness and completeness in every area of our being and our society. You want to see a society that is going to be spoken of favorably, then look for a society that lives in agreement with the principles of God's word. If you want to see where there is division, where there's strife and discord, look around you. It's not hard to find people, nations, people groups who are living contrary to the word of God and yet still expecting peace. Still expecting peace. Peace without Jesus is a fantasy. And the Bible says he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. Okay? So a lot of people have the mindset that peace is the absence of conflict. And so instead of resolving issues, they will just try not to fight. And it's like a tea kettle or a pressure cooker. And the pressure inside just continues to build. But because you can't see it on the outside because of the fortification of the vessel that it's contained in, you think that everything is okay. I've heard people refer to it as a file drawer personality, where they just stuff it in and they shut the door and they put more in and they shut the door and they put more in and shut the door until one day they can't shut the door anymore, and then everything just erupts like a volcano all over the place. And then people are saying, what set that person off? And I'll tell you what set it off is it wasn't dealt with, and we kept thinking we had peace just because it wasn't manifesting on the surface. I'm of the mindset that let's not deal with the symptoms, let's deal with the source. And so if we're going to sit down and we're going to talk, let's get to the base root of the problem, because I don't like to keep going around the same mountain over and over and over again. And so for society right now, the problem is not the absence of peace. The problem is the wrong attitude towards Jesus and the word of God. Peter did not go into Cornelius' house and preach just a change of attitude. He went into Cornelius' house and he preached Jesus. And he said, what's going to happen because of Jesus is you are going to experience peace. He said, the children of Israel preaching peace through Jesus Christ. When we are in a wholesome relationship, when our relationship with God is correct, God's naturally going to manifest a healthy, holy relationship dynamic with the people around us. If our relationship with God is wrong, it's not going to take long before it manifests in discord and chaos with the relationships around us. So what do you want more in your life? Do you want more peace, or do you want more strife? More peace or more discord? I particularly want peace. And so a few weeks ago, I was preaching a message, and I said, okay, when it comes to the people around you, you can just go up to them and you can say a few words, mean it from your heart, and when you say it, it will really help your relationship. And so I recounted how in retail I got tired of having the same boring conversations, you know, because you had customers walk in and so let me just play you the typical conversation. Hi, how are you today? Oh, I'm fine. I'm just looking. Okay, well, if there's anything we can help you with, I'll be right over here. Okay, thanks. And pretty soon they would be gone and out the door and all that sort of stuff. And so people would start coming in, and I would say, congratulations. And all of a sudden they'd say, congratulations for what? And I said, well, I'm sure you've done something merit-worthy. Just did a little something that, you know, it made people think, and it caused them to be engaged. And I, you know, people that I dealt with, I could remember their faces. I could remember their shoe sizes. I could remember the colors of the shoes, the type of shoes that they wore and all that sort of stuff. I would have a hard time remembering their names, but I could remember all the details. And so when I was telling this to the church, I was saying this, I said, when you say this, understand that you've probably done some things that you're not even aware of that merit you saying these statements. And the words were this. I said, if you want to say two words, these are the two words to say. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said, if you add three words on top of that, it goes even further, and that is, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And then add three more words on top of that, and it goes even further yet, and that is, I love you. Please forgive me, or I'm sorry, please forgive me, and I love you. And so after service, people were coming up, and they were saying, please forgive me. Or I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. And I would respond and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. And so everybody was going around saying that. And I just want you to know today that repentance is not a sign of weakness. Repentance is an indication of wisdom. Getting your relationship with Jesus right, having peace before God, is the greatest reality. And I tell you, I make you this promise, and that is this: you will be able to have greater peace in your other relationships. He will manifest wholesomeness in your other relationships. Does that mean that everybody's going to respond that way? No, it doesn't, any more than I can promise you that everybody is going to ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. But He will bring relationships into your life that is going to cause peace. He is Lord of all. He is Lord of all. And so when you hear the message of Jesus, when Peter preaches Jesus, he's telling Cornelius, He's Lord over everything. He's Lord over everyone. And our greatest blessing is going to come from walking in wholehearted obedience to the will of God. I tell people this: the sweetest spot you will ever be in is right in the center of God's will. Right in the center of God's will. That's, I mentioned this verse earlier. It just speaks to me every time I read it. He who chases fantasies lacks judgment. There are so many people, they've seen marriages devastated because they got chasing some fantasy instead of chasing what was the will of God. I encourage you today, you want peace in your life? Pursue Jesus as Lord, not just as Savior. Pursue His will, and it'll manifest great blessings for you. We're running out of time here. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now that You would be Lord over every situation and circumstance of the people who are listening today. Lord, may there be peace between them and You, me and You, and may there be peace in their life. In Jesus' name. See you tomorrow, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.